Hello, everyone. This is Steve Magnus here, and I just wanted to take a minute for myself and my collaborator, John Marcus, to thank you for consuming the Igloo course. Now, a lot of people are going to wonder, well, what can we learn from someone who whose peak athletes, you know, ran in the 1940s and 50s and 60s? Ah, we've moved on. But what you're going to learn is that Igloo was an innovator who was decades ahead of his time. You'll see that in the so-called hard warm-ups that have come back in vogue. You'll see that in the double workouts or double thresholds that have gained in prominence again. You're going to see this in kind of the aerobic development for middle distance athletes, or the research Veronique Blatt's understanding of velocity of VO2 max. Igloo was years ahead on all of that. And it's not to kind of pat him on the back. It's to understand that we can learn so much from coaches who were innovators, because their training determined how we got to where we are. And in a lot of cases, especially in the case of Igloo, because he didn't write it all down, prophetize it, go on a speaking tour like Arthur Lydiard, we forgot some of those lessons. And we forgot some of those innovations. And what we hope to do in this course is to peel back the layers on a coach who is highly misunderstood, and there's not much written about him. For example, there was a recent article while we came out, or while we were putting together this, that came out. Fabulous research article on the Norwegian model of threshold running. And they have one line in there that talks about Igloo and says, oh, his interval training was more intensive than threshold. It was more intense. That's not exactly the case. What we hope to do is to peel back the layers and give you that nuance. Now, before getting into what we're going to hope to accomplish this course, just a little insight. Igloo did not write much about his work, but we found, thanks in large part to our research essentially assistant Jason Rita, who did a fabulous job in helping us make this course what it is, we found the only article and only book chapter that Igloo ever wrote. Both were in Hungarian, translated to English. We uncovered them. In addition, what we did is we found, discovered with Jason's help, with John's help, with me digging through stuff, basically anything that was written about Igloo and his training in the English language. And then beyond that, in Hungarian. All told, we probably found, gosh, I don't know, dozens upon dozens of articles written about Igloo's training, because it was a big mystery, because he didn't write about it. In the 50s and 60s, everyone wanted to know. So what we found is people wanted to know what they discovered, and more importantly, what athletes who had trained with Igloo wrote about their experience in their training. There are some wonderful researchers throughout the years or who, you know, uncovered this. There were some wonderful coaches and former athletes who thought a lot of time and put it all together and wrote about it, that elucidated some of Igloo's training. And then lastly, we dove into the history of the man himself and how it came about. And I should say, not just lastly, I also talked to athletes, a couple athletes throughout the years I have, but more specifically for this, who trained with Igloo under his system. And then we're indebted to people like Bob Shule, who wrote and talked about his experience with Igloo, and then I'm personally indebted as well to Joe Douglas, who was coached by Igloo, and as you'll learn about, who I spent, gosh, what was it, 4 or 5 days training under during my athletic endeavors. I went and stayed with Joe, and spent, you know, again, 5 days. It was with Tom Tellez, Joe Douglas, and myself. He took over my training to show me what it was like. I watched, at that time, I think Kadivis Robinson was training out there. Watched him and others train a little bit. A Francis Santon, who was a 2-minute 800 runner. And understand it. In between that, we watched track videos and talk training. So, and I have notes from that time and went back and incredibly thankful for that experience that gave me an interesting insight into Igloo's training. So with all that being said, here's what we hope to do. Over the next, you know, gosh, probably 8-9 weeks, we're going to release a section time by time. If you're new to this, if you're listening to this later, it might all be out. But here's the sections. First, we're going to go with the overall philosophy and style, kind of a high-level overview of Igloo's training philosophy. And throughout this course, we're going to do a couple different things. First is we pull quotes from Igloo himself or athletes who trained with Igloo to explain that, to hammer it home. And then myself, I went in there and added context based on the readings, understanding, full grasp of it. And occasionally, often, as well, I make note of and will discuss in podcast or video form, translating that context into kind of modern talk or my view of it. And I try to be clear when I'm extrapolating there. So we start off with understanding Igloo, his philosophy, the interval system, why it came about. Then we go into making sense of Igloo, which starts off with a long, you know, discussion, my experiences training with Joe Douglas, and then going into those major philosophical components of individualization, you know, holistic training, long-term development, all of that. Then we have a brief section, thanks largely to Jason Rita's research, that is about Igloo the man. Because I think if we want to understand his training, we have to understand the man himself, who, during World War II, you know, was in a Russian-Soviet camp, prison camp, essentially. So to understand how that prison camp shaped his experience and his own running, Igloo was an Olympian, competed at the 1936 Olympics. And just teasing this, Igloo wasn't, that wasn't his original last name. He changed it. Why? You'll have to find out. Excuse me. Then we go into training model and specifics. So this is where we really dive into the training itself. Periodization, the volume, is every day hard, long runs, double workouts, back-to-back workouts, breaks. We just break it apart. And then from the periodization into the workout design itself. Igloo's workouts, you look at them and you're just like, what in the world is this? This makes no sense. It's so far different from our traditional models. That's because I like to think of it as a work of art. It was Igloo's artistry. And we're going to break it down on how to create Igloo workouts. What were the purpose of each interval? How did he break apart sets and reps? What were the shakeups in between meant for 10 by 100? How did he modulate the recovery? That's what we're going to cover. And of course, warm-ups and cool-downs. And then I've provided, based on this, interpreting through a modern lens, some examples of how I would create Igloo-style workouts for my athletes, and many of these came from my athletes. I break it apart and break apart the decision-making framework for doing so. We'll have a section on biomechanics. So Igloo believed in having different, you know, we experimented in, at least for a little bit, different swing and swing types and tempos. We're going to explain that. Kadivis Robinson has a great video that we'll link to that explains that different idea. Then we're going to look at Igloo understanding it through a historical context. So why did he make the decisions on the training that he did? Why did he go the all-interval style? Well, a couple years later, Lydiard famously had a long period of block where it was just all easy to steady running. Why did he do that? We're going to look at the history of training influences, the science of Igloo's time, which he was heavily tied into, and understand how that shaped his view and the problems he was going to solve. We'll have a section on going deep on Igloo's training. What is this? It's writing from some of Igloo's athletes. We've pulled it from articles, from conversations, excerpts from books. We even searched on Let's Run to look at some contributors who trained under Igloy and pulled out the insight that we thought was valuable. We're going to give you a section on training examples. So actual sample weeks and workouts from some of his best athletes, from Jim Beatty to his Hungarian trio to Bob Schuhl, and some sample training as well. And then finally, in the last couple sections, we're going to say, okay, this is what we've learned. Now, how do we apply these methods? So first, we'll look at applying Igloy's methods in a modern way, looking at flux training, Igloy intervals, speed endurance versus endurance speed, double thresholds, physiology of Igloy's training through modern lens, the hard warm-ups. And then finally, in the section, we'll give you applying these principles to your coaching. So everything that we learned, so what? How do we take that and apply it? And not just the interval style, but the coaching by feel style. Igloy had his own classification system, which we'll elucidate on classifying training, that wasn't zone-based or pace-based. It was based on feel. He also was responsive in his coaching, meaning he didn't know the full workout, didn't have it all written before the workout, before the athletes were showing up. He adjusted on the fly. So we'll tie that into modern psychology of constraints-based coaching. We'll look at how to develop the kick. I'll utilize and show you how I used Igloy intervals to coach in the beginning of my athlete, or the beginning of my career, an athlete to go from having mono, looking like his season was done, to being the state champ in the 2 mile in Texas. Highly competitive year. So we're going to look at how do we take what we learned and apply it in our own coaching. And then, of course, we'll leave you with resources and links to explore more on your own. We've poured a lot of research and understanding into this course. We feel it's untapped, unlike other courses where we've talked about Lydiard and, you know, some other coaches who wrote a lot of books. Peter Koh wrote a lot of books, did a lot of presentations. This is not the case with Igloy. Our hope is to provide you a one-stop shop for understanding who I think is a coaching genius who hasn't been properly kind of understood or valued. So our hope isn't you just say, hey, I'm going to copy Igloy, because that's impossible, but you understand his process, his philosophy, and how he did things, and you come away with some tools to improve your coaching. So with that being said, let's dive in into the genius and a little bit of madness, maybe, that Mihaly Igloy showed as a coach. And more than that, the creativity of his coaching style, which I think is lost in our modern world. We hope you enjoy.